Introduction and disclaimer: underlying every investigation are certain hypotheses which motivate the research and which, if found worthy, become controlling theses in the presentation. Such is true for this work as well. Longenecker, 1981, 4. This work is an assortment of thoughts that introduce the student to the interesting world of hermeneutics. Is primarily a compilation of some of the essential ideas that help define this important but often misunderstood discipline. It cites many scholarly works on a variety of subjects that fall within the purview of this subject, such as the rules that govern interpretation, interpretive history, methodology, and hermeneutical theory. Those subjects are but a part of a much more complex system. It cites and covers many theological perspectives and schools of thought. Many scholars who are quoted have spent countless hours in research, and some have produced what are considered classic works. Our theological starting point, premises, and our conclusions about those premises are exclusively apostolic and are orientated in the knowledge and purpose of Jesus Christ. We share with other groups the same scriptures and use many of the same theological terms, but our understanding of the scriptures and our definition of some commonly used terms are not always the same. In many cases, there are pronounced differences. For example, 1. When we compare our view with other Christian perspectives, we believe our hermeneutical lens is strictly monotheistic, that God is one numerically, while we believe theirs is not. And 2. We believe that our hermeneutical lens is crafted exclusively within the framework of the early church's interpretation of scriptures, while we believe theirs is not. Although there is no need to presuppose or assume anything that we believe, because we as apostolic exegetes are convinced that our doctrines are clearly defined by the Word of God, we nevertheless, for academic purposes, will emphasize three goals associated with presuppositions. A fourth is suggested for further study to help the student think in presuppositional terms. These goals are designed to 1. Help the interpreter to become aware of and understand the presuppositional trail that defines his beliefs. 2. Determine whether his belief system is consistent with an apostolic hermeneutic. 3. Help him biblically define and codify his belief system and help him to identify and totally eliminate aberrant counterparts. And 4. For evangelical purposes, to encourage a presuppositional apologetic approach to further help the student compare his belief system with those that differ. This approach forces those that differ to think through the false trail that defines their system of belief. See David R. Lee, Presuppositions, How to Defend the Faith. The true church had its start on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. The doctrines and ideas that we as apostolics endeavor to replicate in our own lives were made possible to obtain through the New Testament teachings of Jesus Christ. The apostles continued these teachings. Hence, we denominate ourselves apostolic. Non-apostolic doctrines and extra-biblical ideas that were conjured up and developed were forged by other forces in other places and cities, such as Rome, Constantinople, England, Geneva, or wherever the reformer or founder in question lived and reigned. Therefore, as ardent and strict monotheists, believing that God is one numerically, and absolutists, believers in the essentiality of a new birth experience, it is our passion to look to the Master Interpreter, Jesus Christ. He gave us and left us with the methodology and exegetically examples to examine, to try to understand, and to hopefully follow. If this study can help somebody to become more interested and involved in the subject of biblical hermeneutics, then it has been worth the effort to produce this document. The original apostles were Jews, and the New Testament is in the main Jewish literature. But from the second century onwards, the definition and development of doctrine passed into Gentile hands, and Hebraic thought ceased to make a fresh and living contribution to Christianity, although its influence through the New Testament undoubtedly restrained and profoundly modified the process of Hellenization. Quick, 1954-122. As to my qualifications to impart anything on the subject of hermeneutics, I concede that I am woefully inadequate to do this on many levels. For one, I do not know the original biblical languages. Although I believe this is not an absolute requirement, because we have trustworthy translations and lexical helps, I believe this is an excellent precondition that will help the student determine original meaning. Also, an interpreter should have an allegiance to the original or extant manuscripts and not to a particular translation per se. Secondly, I am not formally trained. Thus, even in the department of single terms, especially the vocables whose office is to show the relations of thought, does the interpreter need to be well acquainted with the original languages so as to examine and judge for himself. The grammar and lexicon must be his constant companions, but they are not infallible. Davidson, 1843-19. You will notice that many non-apostolic theologians are cited. You may also take notice of the fact that at some point in your studies that many of these hermeneutical scholars, enthusiasts, etc. violate, although I do not say intentionally, hermeneutical law to one degree or another to justify and or validate their doctrines and teachings. I do not consider myself an expert in this field, but simply an enthusiast. Yet I put myself in the same boat as the aforementioned, meaning that you will also spot unintended errors, inconsistencies, etc. in this attempt to quantify and explain this great and often misunderstood and misapplied science. May I remind the reader and or the student that this happens because we are human, fallible humans that need an infallible governor, God. That is why we as humans must commit to understand, adhere, and submit to the rules that govern biblical interpretation, and why we should also respect and be subject one to another as we endeavor to truly understand the greatest book of all, the Bible. The thesis of this book can be summarized in a two-part sentence. The beginnings of Christian reflection can be traced to interpretations of Israel scriptures, and the major focus of that scriptural interpretation was Jesus, the crucified and risen Messiah. Jule 1988, 1. Few would disagree that the major focus of early scriptural interpretation was Christological, meaning that it had Jesus in view. Jule 1988, 1. Those who wish to be good interpreters must obtain it. The Holy Spirit is willing to bestow it in answer to prayer, and present duty urges to ask its bestowment. Davidson 1843, 4.